Okay, here we go.
Okay. Welcome to the August 28th, 2024 regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. I'd like to call this meeting to order and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. It's right over there behind you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, motion to approve the agenda.
I so move.
I would second that, but I'm suggesting we have an amendment to the agenda, proposing an action item, an additional action item for the matter of Kitsap Transit's decision to essentially stop the Kingston vote, and without any idea of how long it's going to last or anything. So I would propose we take action at a later time in the meeting. I think we had agenda item 8 in the revision, but I would propose that action item B.
Is it a discussion item or an action? Are we taking an action item?
I would like to propose we direct the director to create a resolution that we would adopt at an additional meeting.
Oh, okay. So I think that's a discussion, right, or action. Okay, action item. So I'll make that as action B.
B, yes.
Okay.
To discuss at the next meeting?
To take action possibly at the next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So it would be action to direct the executive director is what the action
right,
would be.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Okay. So.
And now I don't know if I seconded or.
I don't know if you did, so go ahead.
He did.
Okay.
And I would second with my recommendation.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
So I'm going to move on to the consent agenda, but I believe we need to remove something from the consent agenda.
Yeah.
Correct, Mary?
Yeah. The July 31st regular meeting minutes.
Do you want to point out the issue with it?
There's just a couple of, there's two things. The first is that on item 8A, it says that the KRCC representation update, Commissioner Grunvall will represent the port at KRCC. Well, actually, Steve was the alternate, and Laura's stepping into his.
At the alternate.
As an alternate.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very good. Yes. That's correct.
Yeah. And the other thing, which I just wanted to clarify, under the staff report from that same meeting, there's 6 paragraphs. And the last is, we will discuss the plans for the hotel restaurant commercial development, as well as the options for all port assets. I wanted to clarify that that wasn't the focus of the strategic planning session.
No.
That's for the future.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's good.
That is going forward. Yes.
So that's more, I don't know that anything needs to be changed. This does, but yeah.
Okay. So we will add, so we will be removing from the consent agenda item A.
Okay. Update the next meeting.
Right.
Thank you. So the consent agenda now consists of approval of August 14th, 2024 special session minutes and C, approve July 2024 warrants in the amount of $209,296.10 and EFT payments of $147,071.98.
I move that we accept the revised summary as written.
I second that.
All in favor? Aye.
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 So we're going to approve. We're going to move on to number six, which is action items. The first action item is resolution number 2024-08-28-01. It's a resolution to approve purchase of materials for the fuel system. I believe that's related to the when they uncovered.
Did we skip the public comment period?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was me. Oh, yeah. I totally jumped right over the top of that. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
It's tiny, but
it was the top of the page. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go back. We're not going to do action items. We're going to do public comment period. I'm so sorry. Who would like to make a public comment? Mark?
Mark Libby, representing Rotary.
Okay.
And I wanted to check in with you about how it's going with the tables and chairs. We had a couple of meetings, and we outlined a plan, and we've been doing it. We appreciate that there's a separate tent that's been put up. And we're doing our best to follow the schedule that's been provided by the Sunday market folks. Has it been going okay from your perspective?
That would be a Greg. And I'm sure he will get back to you on that. Okay?
We haven't heard otherwise.
Yeah. Greg will be addressing that.
I can provide a kind of a quick summary related to helping one of the user groups of those tables and chairs. And I think it's working very, very well. And so we do, my wife is one of the co-chairs for the Kingston Public Market. And those chairs are very well appreciated that they have the use. And we're locking them up in a protocol. And I think we're doing pretty good. And so I really want to state that as a user or an assistant or a user, or as I am told, I'm a voluntold.
Voluntold.
that we really appreciate the use, and I think it's working very well, and I thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Mary, you have a comment? Mary Gleistein?
Yeah, my name is Mary Gleistein, and I noticed on your website that Chapter 8, under Options and Opportunities, did not mention waterfront park accessibility or any with respect to the use of port properties. And I've been coming to port meetings since 1977, considerably before any of you. And I've been talking about this since at least 1980, and I'm tired of it, and I'd like you to listen, and I'd like you to hear me. I'd like the Hill property to be accessible to the public, and that includes everybody, people in wheelchairs, people in strollers. And I want it exclusively for public use. I think the people of Kingston are entitled to it and need it. North Beach is not accessible. I've seen people carried down those stairs in a wheelchair, and it's not pretty. And Arnest Park is more accessible in that it's level, but there's a curb that has to go over with a wheelchair, and Mary can tell you that Arnest Park operates at capacity in the summer, and there's cars parked all the way along South Kingston Road. The county has approved 1,000 new houses for Kingston, many of which are under construction right now. None of these houses has waterfront access. There's no way for those people to get to the water in Kingston, and the water is what drew them to this community. the board has an obligation, I think, to provide this service for its taxpayers. I think you can find that the Port District taxpayers and voters are in favor of public access and use of that property. And I would like to advise you or encourage you not to make any more expenditures on the Hill House or the dock there until the appropriate use of that property has been determined. I think it's silly to pay money for new foundations and new roofs for a building that should be removed in order to get people into the park. And that's all I have to say at this point, but you'll be hearing from me again.
Good. Thank you, Mary. Okay.
Can I put on a different hat? Can I speak to you from the lead of the Kingston Park Trails and Open Space
okay.
Committee?
Yes, please.
Speak to you. A discussion item. First, we've talked previously about the erosion at Arness Park. And theoretically, the Park Department commissioned a study from one of their consultants. And then, of course, the man that was in charge of that study left for the Parks Department. What have you heard about control of the erosion at Arness Park? And what do you think the port can do in that regard?
Interesting. Okay. Good discussion to have.
I don't know that the port had ever been, approached from Kitsap County Parks to assist with that, endeavor. That's an interesting thought. So maybe the parks director could have a conversation, or perhaps Gray could have a conversation with him.
Is that something that you would be willing to do, Greg? Okay.
Can I make one more comment?
Sure, Mary.
That has to do with this issue. I appreciate the port's interest in Arness Park, but I would like the port to pay attention to Hill property and making a new park. That's something you have control over and responsibility for. And would you please, please address that issue?
Thank you, Mary. Okay, so now we're going to move on to action items. And the first one, I think I already said what it was. It was the resolution to approve the purchase of the materials for the fuel system, which I believe we uncovered in the parking lot, correct?
Yes.
That it needed work. Do you want to discuss that, Greg?
Yeah, so the fuel system needs to be upgraded and brought into compliance with current standards. So we have an estimate for $60,000 plus a 10% contingency, so it brings it to $67,000 request. This was not budgeted for this year, but the fuel line of business is critical to the port. It supports all the marine and the boating, as well as all the guest boating. So we looked at it when we were doing the restroom, and we decided it would be the time, rather than just cover over it with the restroom, it'd be better to take a look at it, since we suspected it wasn't in compliance, but we've confirmed now, and you can't even get any replacement parts for anything. It's already outdated. So this is a request for labor and materials to replace that fuel line that goes from our tanks, and it reroutes it to go so it's openly accessible. It goes around where the restroom will be, and then goes out to the dock.
Okay. Yeah. Mary, would you like me to read this resolution in, or would you like to?
Sure.
I'll do it. Okay.
Whereas the Port of Kingston provides fuel to support economic development, tourism, and the marina line of business, and infrastructure needs to be brought into compliance. Whereas the Port of Kingston has received a scope of work and cost estimate for the not-to-exceed amount of approximately $67,000. Therefore, be it resolved by the commissioners for the Port of Kingston approves purchase of labor and materials to obtain, to maintain the fuel system at the marina. Passed by the Board of Commissioners for the Port of Kingston, Kitsap County, Washington, at a regular meeting held this 28th day of August, 2024. And that is resolution number 2024-08-2801.
So do I have a motion to approve that resolution?
I so move.
And I second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 So we're going on to B, which is the Kitsap Transit issue.
Yes.
So who would like to talk about that? Steve?
Yeah, I'm happy to bring this forth as what I think we need to direct the executive director to create a resolution in regards to the unilateral rescinding of the passenger only ferry service with the wording that had been provided that says to the foreseeable future. That seems rather onerous to me, that Kitsap Transit would rescind passenger-only ferry service between Kingston and the city of Seattle for the foreseeable future, when there may be alternatives for providing that service. And I'd like to see the idea of a one-boat service from Bremerton, as Bremerton has another alternative, which is Washington State Ferries, that goes directly to the city of Seattle and provides service. And why it's unilaterally decided without any discussion with the Port of Kingston, who's, we are the holder of a lease, that we're a lease, leaseholder, and we've had no discussion. It was all of a sudden, we're stopping both boats from going to Seattle. And it seems highly irregular that we were not notified, not have a discussion about anything to do with this, and all of a sudden we have no boat service, so we're left holding the bag. We have clients that have parking passes, that have monthly passes, and those monthly passes are to go to downtown Seattle, not to go over to Edmonds and have commute service, to Edmonds, because then they either have to take a bus or the train, and they have moved to our Kingston area for a specific reason. And I just find it highly irregular that we were not consulted, that this decision just came forth. So I'd like to direct the executive director to look into this as a resolution that we have a negotiation with keeping one boat service at least keeping some kind of service to downtown Seattle. Our taxpayers have moved to our area for this service specifically so that they can continue to work in Seattle and live in our fine community. And I'd like this to be looked into.
I couldn't agree.
And I guess I'll open it for further discussion.
So another thing too that I find really odd is that they're not offering any sort of bus service either from Edmonds to downtown Seattle or from Kingston to Bainbridge Island, so that people have the option of doing that. And is there anything by chance in our lease, our contract with them for their service, that might be looked at in regards to this?
take a look at it. And
I don't know.
I think one of the things is, if I'm not mistaken, I think they have a two-vessel service out of Bremerton. So they took both vessels out of service, you know, and weren't working for the Kingston-Seattle run, and they have two vessels operating out of Bremerton.
Right.
So they could
have, that's my understanding.
They could have reallocated one of the vessels over to Kingston run, which is a busy run. You know, it's booked up. It's we have really good ridership, and we've been building ridership. I mean, it keeps strengthening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every time we start building the business up, and then, you know, it's like, why, you know, you would think it's frustrating because not only do they have two vessels, but they have the state ferry as an option. Here you have no option now, and you have to take a bus over to kind of Suquamish, then you wait for the mm-hmm. bus to try to go over to Bainbridge.
They could have a direct one, though, if they really...
And they could have a direct one if they really wanted
to. What about
to.
Southworth? Do they have one or two boats down at Southworth?
I'm not sure. I do. I just look at the...
We should look into that, too. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The other thing that was kind of frustrating is that they already previously, they just took out those vessels out of service in order to get them in the shipyard.
I remember
and
that.
It was an extended shipyard period. It wasn't that long ago. And it was specifically, so they put a lot of money into those vessels. And the backup vessel. So the backup vessel should be turnkey in the event, because it's not even used, it's just sitting there. So you would think it would be turnkey and already be vetted so that it would work if the other vessel's not working. That's the whole concept. Because you're only running really the one vessel, the other vessel's a backup. So
right.
Both that vessel and then the backup also is not working. So, you know, this is not a good option,
but then the
existing capacity isn't reallocated and we get into I don't really understand that because we're a really successful fast ferry service and we've been building steady ridership, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we have over 83 monthly parking passes.
Right, I know.
Exactly.
It jumped up.
Which is more than we had even before COVID. And they did 175,000 passengers in 2019. And I don't know, I didn't look at the ridership, to be honest. I didn't go on their website to look at it, what it is year to date. But they were, I think, on schedule to do that. And last year they built it up to, they expected to get 130,000, 140,000 for last year. I think on this.
Well, they just had the big push to get more ridership too. And that kind of seems like it's.
Yeah, and now pulling the rug out, if you will, and with that statement, until, you know, for the foreseeable future, those words are ringing true to me that, you know, they are, you know, pulling back on what their promise was.
So what
and it does not seem right.
It's also taxpaying, you know, the taxpayers are everywhere in Kitsap County that supported that. They all voted it in. I actually voted for it, even though I wasn't going to be the beneficiary at the time. I wasn't even thinking that. I just thought, just like the Port Commission did, you know, hey, this is really good for Kitsap. It's really good for a lot of people and economic development.
Thought.
It's critical to have. So I voted for that, and it's a pretty, you know, it's a substantial tax. It's a substantial revenue stream for Kitsap Transit. So, I mean, if that would be, it's a nice, steady, consistent revenue stream, so they should be able to, you know. But to have Kingston get nothing, and they have a state ferry, and they have two ferries, I just don't see that as being in any way equitable, and there's no backup. I mean, there's just really, it's just you're on your own, basically. Take the bus over to Suquamish, wait over at Clearwater Casino until another bus passes along 305, picks you up, and not really very good. I'm actually surprised. But
so you're going to reach out to mm-hmm. Kitsap Transit?
And I could kind of draft a letter for the Port Commission, is, you know, and run it by you guys, and just, you know, here's our talking points, here's what we think, and just... We would like an explanation, and we think that you should reallocate resources, probably. I mean, that seems more than fair.
Yeah, because it doesn't just affect them.
Just
it
move
affects
the boat over
a
there,
lot of
over
people.
Over the Kingston run, right?
Well, I'd add to that as well, which should be an absolute management must to have a spare boat for all of their runs, all of the rides and routes that they provide. They should have a spare boat. They should also have a contingent of spare parts, because I think all boats are similarly, if not exactly, probably you have an expert in the audience back there about propulsion of these particular boats, right, Mark? But, you know, the idea is that, you know, that they need to build this resource so that this doesn't happen again, that they have readily available parts, you know. Equipment fails, but Kitsap Transit is now failing us and our community by this this decision, and I don't think that's right. So, okay, I'm stepping off my soapbox now.
I think that the designation of Kingston as a transportation hub. Southworth isn't a transportation hub.
Right.
I really think this is not, once we have the letter in hand, we need to go to their board and say,
yeah,
you guys didn't make this decision on an hour's notice, so there's been some thought into it, and we want answers, and we want to be a partner. So.
And actually, the Port Authority has been an incredibly, I think, generous partner, because, you know, they are, I mean, you look at what the demand that's been built up for Kitsap Transit, and we are, you know, we invest a lot of effort and time, actually, in order to maintain all the parking. We're doing, you know, it's just, I'm kind of shocked that they don't take and reallocate the resources, at least to have some service here during peak periods, because they also were even running a Saturday service. And we get a lot of people from Seattle coming over for the public market and visiting Kingston and local businesses. So it's commuters and also tourism. And they have capacity that's available. So I'm surprised they didn't reallocate at least one of the vessels back over. And we are considered by PSRC, that's a very good point, Commissioner McCord, as a high capacity transportation center.
Yep.
Specifically, as opposed to Mayo's other places are secondary. They're tertiary, so.
Not even Bremerton.
Yep.
So I have to go to the expert in the audience. I'm gonna break protocol here.
I wanted to encourage you to attend Thursday night's Ferry Advisory Committee. Kingston Ferry Advisory Committee. Typically, John Vezina is there. It's a spot where you can make the point. I can provide you a little detail about what's going on. The Finest had a casting that's broke, something that was never supposed to break. And unfortunately, they got to get the molds out and redo the casting, and it's going to take them a couple of months to get that part. The backup for the Finest was the Solano. The Solano has been reassigned to Southworth because it has the bow loading capability that they need. They don't have a side-loading passenger capability at Southworth. They need that bow loader. So that's why the Solano went away. Concerning the two, the Rich Passage and the Lady Swift down there, when Washington State Ferries made the decision to only have one state ferry on the Bremerton Run rather than the two, the legislature funded a bunch of money, I should remember the amount, but I don't, a bunch of money to Kitsap Transit to provide passenger-only service to make up for the missing boat on the Bremerton boat. So there's just a legislative directive and funding that's going to Kitsap Transit to provide two boat service on passenger ferries on that Bremerton Seattle run. And, you know, of course, I'd say talking to Commissioner Wallace about what the legislative requirements are on the state, but I just know there's mischief in that detail.
So do you think this is a 2-month thing?
They were talking like 3 or 4 months to get the castings that they needed to restore two other boats. Like Steve said, they both have these jet drives, and both of them have cracks in this cast fitting that attaches the jet drive in there. And you know, one of them, I guess, had significant cracks. The other one they inspected, and it's about to fail. So, make a long story short, the manufacturer is telling them it'll be months somebody should be asking, can't you do the layup, computer-generated build-up in lieu of a casting, but that's beyond this expertise.
I see. Yeah.
But anyway, that's...
So do you think by what we're talking about that we're overreacting in reaching out to them?
No.
Or, okay, I mean, thank you.
I'm a big believer that you have
I just
want to
make sure, yeah. Yeah, the, how you feel since you have some expertise
in this.
My
raising my hand was, hey, come to the Ferry Advisory Committee, have somebody at the Ferry Advisory Committee Thursday night as
tomorrow?
One of the steps. Beg your pardon?
Tomorrow?
A week.
A week. Yeah, it's the first.
Is it in the first Thursday?
No.
It is tomorrow. Where is that held, Mark?
It's a Zoom meeting. You know, and I'm brain dead here, sorry.
Can you forward the,
I'll forward the link to you. The chair is Alina Volterra.
Oh, yeah.
But Steve Manchis, who's also on the KCAC, is the one that's doing the RSVPs and hooking up the Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we have time to publicly notice that. So one person, one commissioner should go, not... Three?
Yeah.
Well, given the KCAC Transportation Committee connection.
It's 9:05, the meeting is 9:05 at 6 p.m.
Yeah. Who usually attends that, you or Steve?
I do.
Okay. So it should probably be Mary that goes to that and, you know, and you're probably going to be there too, right, Greg? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Did you say 9:05? The date?
Yes, September 5th at 6 p.m.
Oh, it's September 5th?
Next Thursday.
It's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, so we do have time to publicly notice it.
We do.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good, good.
Okay, that's cool.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm in support of Greg doing what Greg does. And getting back to us.
I'll get some to you probably by tomorrow or Friday. Please.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. So we'll move on to discussion items. Does anybody have discussion items at this point? Okay. We'll move on to financial report.
So page 15 has the first page of the July 31st balance sheet. Our cash and equivalents as of July 31st is $2.9 million. We have our debt, our general obligation bond of $605,500 with $2.3 million all in after debt for our cash equivalents. I don't know if there's anything else to note necessarily on the balance sheet. But if you go to page 18, income statement year to date, we are lower than expected on our gross profit to budget, but we have, we know that we're working with TJ and Tori, Greg, Stacy, we're all kind of looking at the pricing for fuel, and the volume is down. That's mainly why we have this variance for the $104,000 from budget, and then the $83,000 from this time last year. So we'll be looking to see what we can do with that line of business. Also, our mortgage is down a little bit this year with TJ there, and we're working on, we've just started the budget, the 2025 budget, so we'll be meeting internally, kind of going over what our plans are to build more business, you know, what kind of ideas TJ has. He has a lot of experience in the ports, and he's been a really good welcome addition to the group. The expenses are also lower than expected or lower than projected with the budget. The other operating expenses, I just wanted to point out, because it's hard to know what that difference is. It's kind of in the middle of operating expenses, halfway down the page, other operating expense. I believe Mary asked this question earlier in the year. That positive variance of almost $30,000, that is an adjustment from the grant that we had. We had to do an adjustment for, and that was in the prior year. It's a prior year adjustment. But everything is kind of as expected. Our net operating income is about, it's a loss of $254,000. And the net income year to date is a loss of $46,000. We still have a couple months of peak season to be able to, you know, catch up a little bit. And just a note that we have our state auditors will be joining us for a visit this year to audit the 2022-2023 years, and we look forward to them coming, and that should happen sometime between now and Thanksgiving. So that'll be a hybrid visit. I don't even think they come on site anymore, but we have everything electronic, so it should be a good thing. And I always like having the opportunities to talk with them and say, you know, do you have any, you know, anything, any kind of critical thing or whatever. You know, we're very solid and I feel good about it. And just looking forward to go through it and report to you all what the findings are, if any. So,
cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really like the layout that you've come up with now.
Oh, good.
It's really good.
Yeah, we thought our eyes would appreciate this. I mean, even though it takes an extra second, it's nice to have it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. I can't look at the tiny. But if you look through it even later, because I know you don't get these too early, mm-hmm. but if you have any questions at all, please reach out. I'd be glad to talk to you about it. And I'm hoping to have more time maybe in the work sessions to just do a little more education, reach out to me, anything you want to know. You know, I know we'll all be traveling together sometime in October to do the small ports.
Not me.
Oh, no. You won't?
She'll be traveling on her own.
I'll be out of the country.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited to go to that. I haven't been to an all ports. Our small ports, rather.
It's really good because it's a smaller group.
Right.
And it's really nice.
Yeah, and
it's
I love really the networking nice. Aspect of it. Yeah. And I wasn't it's able fabulous. To do the finance and administration this year, so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. So. And where is it at? Is it Chelan?
Lake Chelan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we'll move on to action item number 9, commissioner reports. Steve has left the building. So Mary, it's you.
I don't have a report today.
And I don't have a report either, and Steve is no longer there. So we'll come back to Steve. And I know he said he had to occasionally step out. So we'll move on to staff reports. Chris?
As in the previous couple months, we're still muddling our way through some software implementation challenges between the two, but we're working with their development team, and they're diligently trying to fix some of the issues that we've had, and they're understanding the importance of some prompt changes. So we're hoping that we can get some resolution quickly. For the most part, it's working well as far as the operational piece and internally just coming into the office. It's some of the behind the scenes kind of the things, credit to Clyde and things like that we're struggling with a little bit. But operationally, I think it's really helpful. We've got the new fuel pumps are installed. We'll be working on the electronic integration with the software soon. So that will be another efficiency that will come from this. Outside of that, we're getting ready to do budget, so we're starting those budget conversations. We're excited to get back in the room and start looking through all of the things that we've got in line for the future and see, you know, what expenses we have and where can we
benefit on increasing revenue and different lines of revenue that we potentially could have. We're just sent out the calendar for all of those upcoming meetings. So September will be busy. And getting it all on the calendar for submission to the county and getting all those deadlines met. So we're hoping that that will go smoothly, and I think it will.
Okay.
A lot of work in the previous couple of years to get us where we are. Thankful to Stacy and Audra for cleaning everything up, making it more of a seamless process, and it should be very, very efficient to go through that.
Good job.
That's where we're headed.
So, Steve, since you stepped out of the meeting, we skipped over the top of you. So, do you have a commissioner report?
I don't. I'm sorry. I'm remote, and I.
That's okay.
I thought I had my notes, and I don't have my notes with me. So I can provide an update next time. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Audra?
I really don't have any report.
Okay. Mr. England?
So we're working on a number of different like capital projects and looking at and working on grants as well as obviously we're going into the budget cycle. So we've been looking at just some of our current business practices with the rules and regs. But we're reviewing the fire suppression system. We're going to issuing the contract in order to get that going. So we're in the final stages of getting that contract for the design for the fire suppression system for the guest dock. Associated with that is we applied for an RCO, boating infrastructure grant. RCO rejected all three grant applications currently, as all three being ineligible potentially, including ours. So they sent it back to us and said, please take a look at that and update things and see if you can get it into within the framework. And that was directly from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They rejected all three of them for different criteria. So we're going to go back in and we're going to resubmit that by Friday. We have another grant that we're looking at. We're walking through our capital program to decide what we really want to apply for the boating facilities program, which is due this fall. These grants are every other year, so we want to hit the cycle. Hopefully we'll get some money out of the state because it does really help on all these capital programs. The guest restroom, we've had that up and going, and it's part of we've tried to move around the infrastructure so that it's all accessible versus going underneath where the guest restroom is going to go. So we've been doing some groundwork out there. I think it's caused a little bit of consternation amongst people because they come down there and it's not exactly the way that they usually follow the traffic patterns for parking and for access in there. Can't be helped. But I do think that there's some misinformation or some assumptions that have been going around the community. So I just want to add some clarification. We are going to lose one parking stall only. We're not changing the composition of the parking. We are going to lose a parking stall. But that's hopefully a small price to pay. And we actually looked at the circulation of it. I think the circulation actually quite a bit of an improvement because we are widening when the entry and egress goes in. So if you've driven that, when people are coming out, it can be pretty, you got to wait for someone to exit before you can enter a lot of times. There's a lot of big vehicles and trucks, that kind of thing. So it should improve across the board for circulation. And with that goes the fuel system, which we've already addressed. But that will be, I think that will be good because we'll know it'll be all engineered. We'll have the as-builts. And I believe that it will be an actually improved fuel system. And with part of the fuel system, we just got two new dispensers that we installed down in the fuel dock. So these are, state-of-the-art fuel dispensers. And those are supposedly, they're going to be integrated with the marina software. So hopefully the transactions go a lot more smoothly and quickly for everybody. So we're working on that. The strategic planning, so we have another meeting coming up on September 10th, where we're going to talk about the strategic plan, and that's in the morning, Tuesday morning of September 10th, I believe, and at 9:30.
Yes.
And so that's open to the public. And So that'll give everybody a little bit another look and review of the strategic plan. So we have a draft. I'm going to send that to the commissioners, and we'll post on the website so people can see the draft of the strategic plan. We've had a walkthrough of it.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will make it, you know, more transparent. And I did get some feedback, and they said, hey, everybody would like to see a little bit more engagement if we can from the public. And so I think there's some good ideas. When things are going well, sometimes you don't hear from the public, and people, I think today, are living really busy lives and they have a lot going on in their lives, but it would be great if we could get a little bit more, you know, some more engagement. So one of the things that was brought up was maybe start writing an article for in the Kitsap community, Kitsap Community News. We put stuff on our website. Our website is really where we go, our go-to. We also can put things on Facebook, but we don't have just public comment on Facebook, just because obviously it's easy to violate the Open Public Meetings Act, and we don't want to go down that road. But there are some other opportunities that we can do. We could do a mailer at some point. We did it one time before. You know, it costs around $5,000-$6,000 to do a mailer, but maybe we could do a survey and draft something up and send it out just to start getting more feedback about what people in the Port District value and what they want to see. Anyway, there's a lot of good ideas out there. A big push now, though, is going to be a very focused push on the budget to try to get that done and get it in front of the Port Commission for review and approval, and that will kind of coincide. Some of it will coincide a little bit with your being gone for a couple of things, but we'll work around those.
What's the deadline for that? Was it supposed to be October 30th or 31st?
No.
November 1st?
No, you guys are going to...
We have
vote is November.
Yeah.
And then it's submitted.
At the regular November meeting? Mm-hmm.
There's some preliminary budget discussions at I can send that to you. I just created that schedule today.
Well,
so I can send that out to you.
Will I be gone during those?
Some of our meetings internally, perhaps, but
yeah.
I don't think during the meetings where you, as the commission, will need to make decisions or review.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
There's just, just by state law, there are deadlines that
yes,
are supposed to meet.
There are.
It is interesting when I look across the board, though, with all these support schedules for their budget, they don't meet these deadlines. In fact, I won't name ports, but I looked at, I think, six different ports for their budgetary schedules. And when I compared it to what the deadlines were, and they have funny things when you have to read the RCWs, it's like the first Tuesday
after the first Monday.
You know, so it isn't easy to follow, but still, you can figure it out. You just have to follow that word progression.
On a full moon
So along with the...
So we'll make sure that we're meeting all those deadlines and complying with it, and then make sure that we put out the drafts and people can take a look at it. I will say that Audra and Stacy have done such a great job, really an incredible job. It's such a more robust process, and all the information is just so well organized. And after last year doing that zero sum budgeting process where you have to build it from scratch, that I think going forward, it's just going to be such a better process overall. I do think that, we do take, we looked at the results from the financials and the balance sheet. We did take a little bit of a loss this year. Our third quarter is always the big quarter, so that's right. So that's always the July, August, September. And then you have October, November, December. But the third quarter is really when we usually make up a lot of ground in order to be able to try to get positive and make money and be profitable, even after depreciation. So there's always the before and after depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have some additional costs this year because of the fuel line and regulatory agencies when they come out and did some inspections. And so it's hard to budget for that. But if somebody comes out has a finding or we're out of compliance with the current infrastructure, we just have to update it. But it's hard to know because we don't have all that information at our fingertips anymore. Some of it's not really collated. So we've been going back, like looking through all of the fire suppression. There was a fire suppression system, for example, designed for the marina, but it wasn't clearly wasn't implemented. So just things like that, you have to just go through, dig through all of that. But I think the budget, we're going to get rolling on that. We'll be distributing the strategic plan. We'll put it on our website. We'll send out some notifications to people that, you know, that's have signed up for so that they can take a look at it. And yeah, it's going to be a really busy September and October, and then we'll have a glide path into the holidays. But it is really great that Stacy and Audrey did such a good job. I mean, I think that is really critical that we have really robust financials. They're accurate, and you can track it. Then if there's any questions, they can sit down and walk through them. And so I think I just want to thank you for that, because it's really going to help, I think, everyone to be able to better manage going forward. And TJ is going to be invaluable. I agree with her. That he's going to be really helpful. And it's nice to be at full strength, at full staff now.
So along with the budget, we're also recommended to renew our commitment to the auditor, the attorney, and the delegation of authority.
Mm-hmm. So we're the delegation of authority. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And we did the, we updated the, and we had kind of did the update, you know, we updated the engagement letter last year. We'll do it again this year. Obviously our finance director, she is also serves as our court auditor. I'd recommend we continue that. And I think she's done a really good job. And I think that bringing the port current over these past 5 years to where you really have, they did such a good job on the last audit, and that was a 35-year veteran auditor. And the feedback that we got from that, not having any findings, I think that's really, to be honest, I'd have to give a lot of credit both to Audrey and Stacy. So we're really doing a good job.
Thank you.
A really good job.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Since
in terms
I
of the,
did it for you, I'll do it for him just one time for both of you. Okay, go ahead, Mary.
In terms of the special meeting and getting word out to the public, or the planning session or whatever it's called.
Strategic planning,
that's what. Could you send a notice to the KCAC, to the, like, the board of KCAC, because I think those people are really interested in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, normally we're really trying to keep public comment during the public comment period.
No,
because no, don't apologize, because I broke protocol and went to Mark.
Okay.
And so I felt it only fair to go to you.
So
it was me. Okay, so our next regular meeting is going to be Wednesday, September 25th at 1:00. And it will be here where we are, and it'll also be a hybrid meeting. So we're going to go ahead and adjourn. We have an executive session, and there will be no action taken after this executive session. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Multiple opportunities to speak.
Yeah, these things tend to be discussion things.
Don't plan on it being that way again. Okay. So it's 7:25, and I think our executive session. So Greg, you're gonna exit for a little while, and okay, so I'm going to say we'll come back at 7:55, okay, to get
so
Greg possibly,
I'm going to
and I'm going to stop this.
This is weird. I'll stop.